Welcome back, Missio family. Today, you'll hear Pastor Josh talk about how God is glorious, so we don't have to fear others. If you have any questions about Missio, you want to join a missional community, or you have any prayer requests, please contact us at missio.life.
So good to be back with you today, guys. We were gone this last weekend. My wife and I went to Phoenix, and I'm just going to tell you, it was a little bit warmer there and a little bit more sunny there, and it was hard to come home to North Dakota because you guys had like a blizzard while we were gone. It's good to get away and kind of recharge the batteries. And so we hung out with some folks from Excel Leadership Network. They're one of our church planting partners. And so I don't know if I've talked a whole lot about Excel, but I just want you to be aware that since Missio started, they have been integral in our launch and just getting going. They've provided financial support, prayer support, leadership development, all kinds of good things. And so also, any offerings that come into Missio, 1% of our giving goes back into Excel to future church plants. And they have a really big goal of 100 churches a year. They plant 100 churches a year. That's a lot. And they hit that mark regularly. So I'm just glad to know that part of your giving is going back to future kingdom expansion. We also have another partner, which is North American Baptist, and we give 3% of our giving goes to church multiplication with NAB. So I just wanted you to be aware of that your giving, your contributions here not only impact our church and our community, but you're giving to see the kingdom expand all over the U.S. and even internationally into Canada and Mexico as well. So pretty cool. Thanks for being generous. But good to be back, like I said. And we're in this series called The 4 G's. And this is the 4th G today. So if you missed some of these, you can go back, check them out on the podcast. But these are 4 eternal truths about God that come from the pages of Scripture that when we believe these things, there's more than 4 truths about God, obviously, but these are very big, crucial ones that when we believe them, they actually start to change our hearts and our lives in a way that we see impact on a daily basis. So we get this from a guy named Tim Chester. He's a theologian, author, who came up with this idea first, and we've kind of borrowed this. But if you've been around our church for any amount of time, you'll hear these phrases. God is great, so I don't have to be in control, right? What's another one? Can you guys think of the 2nd G? He took them off the screen so you can't cheat. God is great. What's another one? God is good. God is glorious, gracious. Actually, that's a little out of order. I'm doing gracious today. But yeah, they're all 4 impactful things. Because here's the thing. We live in a world where you get bombarded with lies. Do you realize that? There is misinformation, bad information coming at us at all times. We have a spiritual enemy who hates us and wants to lie to us. And oftentimes in the Christian life, we say, well, I want to grow. I want to change. I want to be different. I want to be more like Jesus. And so we focus on a sin or a habit or a behavior, and we just try to change it. We say, oh, I just got to change this part of my life. And that just doesn't really work, at least not for any amount of time, because we haven't gone upstream far enough back to what's the actual thing that we're thinking and the thing that we're believing that's causing the behavior. We try to just change the behavior, right? Behavior modification. And so we talk about head, what do I think, what do I know to be true? Again, we have to come back to God's word for that, for truth. But then how do I believe that on an emotional level? How am I actually engaging with that truth? And when I believe it in here, in my heart, then it flows out into my hands. Then my behavior is changed. And that's really the idea behind these 4 eternal truths about God, that when we believe them and we integrate them and we internalize them, they actually change who we are for the long haul. It actually has an impact on us. And so today we're talking about how God is glorious, so I don't have to fear others. I don't have to fear other people. Fear is a funny thing, you know. This kind of dates me a little bit, but do you guys remember the Fear Factor? That TV show, the reality TV show? Fear Factor. It was like one of the first reality shows that came out. And the idea was that you could face your fears. If you could eat a bunch of bugs and touch a bunch of snakes and be in a confined space or suspended 200 feet above the ground, whatever your fear was, if you could conquer that and outlast all the other people on the show, you get cash prize. Awesome, right? And I don't know what your fear would be. I think for me, probably like eating things if I'm blindfolded. There's a lot of snakes and bugs in that show, I feel like. But I don't know what your fear would be. But we all have fear. The point is, every human being has fear, don't we? And God has given us fear as part of our makeup. He's wired us in such a way that fear is part of who we are. It's part of being human. And so this idea of fear, oftentimes we think of it in the church as like, oh, fear is such a bad thing. Jesus said, don't fear. And we're going to get to that in a minute. He did say that. But fear is actually part of how God has designed us, and there's actually some good fear. A good fear would tell you, hey, I'm about to walk across the street and there's a bus coming. Don't step out in front of it, you know, take a step back. Or I'm swimming in the ocean and there's, you know, fins coming around, there's sharks, get out of the water, right? Like that kind of fear keeps us alive. I was talking about this in first service, like if we didn't have fear, how quickly would the human race just be wiped out, right? Like, we'd just be dead. Everybody be gone. So fear is part of our wiring. God has made us this way so that we survive and we realize we need help. We're not okay by ourselves. We're not self-sufficient. We need to look outside of ourselves. And so that's really the question we say is, what do we do with fear? How do we handle fear? There's kind of like good fear and bad fear. There's good avenues of handling it and bad ways of handling it. So misplaced fear is not good for us. It's actually detrimental, has negative side effects to us. And the Bible kind of teaches fear in a couple of different ways. And a bad response to fear would be worrying about things that I can't control, right? So if I say, I'm about to get on an airplane and I'm going to fly, but I'm afraid that the plane's going to crash. How much control do I have over if the plane crashes? None. Or if I say, hey, I'm worried that I'm going to get sick and die, that's out of my hands. Or I have a friend and I'm worried that this friend's going to betray me. We can't control those things. And when we live in fear of what might happen, that's anxiety and that eats us up. And that is not what Jesus wants for his people. He says, I want you to have peace. And he actually says that in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So there's that word, afraid, right? Fear, do not be afraid. Jesus wants us to have peace. That's the kind of life that he draws us to. So fear, when rightly applied, again, it's a gift of God, when rightly applied, we recognize that we are in need, that we need God. It draws us to God. And so it almost seems like we're getting mixed messages here, right? Like, don't be afraid, but be afraid. And I'm going to read a text here in just a moment where Jesus gets very specific about how we are to fear. But it's really a paradox, right? And a paradox is something that seems to be logically contradictory. You guys know what a paradox is? I'll give you a couple of examples. Something that it seems to contradict itself in a statement. Like, here's one. You guys know who Morgan Freeman is, the TV actor? Love Morgan Freeman. Guy's voice is killer, isn't it? Like, he's got such a cool voice. Morgan Freeman's voice is rough and smooth at the same time, isn't it? That's a paradox. Like, how do those things exist together? Well, they do. Or the movie Fight Club. If anyone remembers Fight Club, what's rule number one in Fight Club? You don't talk about Fight Club, right? And so that's a paradox in itself. Like, well, we are talking about it by saying we don't talk about it. So statements that seem to be kind of contradictory, and we see this with fear in the Bible. And so Jesus talks to his disciples about fear in Matthew 10. I want to read just a few verses here, starting in 28. He says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So Jesus tells his disciples, hey, don't be afraid. Peace I leave with you. Don't, you know, fear not. But he says, you need to fear God. So he's saying, yes, there is appropriate fear. A healthy fear drives us to God, right? A healthy fear helps us see God as he is. Basically, what Jesus was telling his disciples is, you have fear, just be careful where you point it, where you aim it. If you aim it at people, what's the worst a person can do? They can kill you. Oh, Jesus, that seems like kind of a big deal. I don't want to be dead. But he says, that's the scope of the power that a person has, is they can kill you. That's the worst they can do. But realize how much greater God is. He not only has control over your life, but also your afterlife. Eternity is so much bigger than our time on this earth. I don't know if you guys realize that. We are here for such a short time. But God oversees everything, start to finish. And that's what Jesus is saying. He says, have a proper perspective here. Remember how much control and power that God has. And by the way, he says, fear God, but not in a way that you're like afraid of him or you need to go hide from him. He's your loving Father. He takes care of the birds, the sparrows, and you're worth a lot more than sparrows, Jesus says. And by the way, the hairs on your head are numbered. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Isn't that cool? I wonder how many hairs we have on our head. Like, what's the actual number? I have no idea, but it's probably a big number, at least for most of us, right? But anyway, he says, don't fear man, because the worst a man can do to you is kill you. Again, the perspective is that God is so much bigger. See, we live in a world that we lose perspective sometimes, don't we? You ever noticed in the book of Psalms, as you read the Psalms, and David was one of the primary authors of that book, he's often just reciting to himself truths about God. Like, hey, Saul's trying to kill me, but God, I trust in you. God, you've got my back. God, you're my protection, my provision. You're my shield. And he just rehearsed that over and over, like a daily basis, because he's on the run. He's living in caves. That's what the psalmist often did, was just rehearsing truth. And that's what these phrases remind us of. God is glorious. I don't have to fear others. I need to appropriate my fear in ways that are healthy, that actually benefit my soul, not in ways that are hurtful. See, we start to fear people, and maybe you're not afraid of, you know, your neighbor coming over and, you know, offing you or something. Like, I don't know if it's always about killing, but what about just the fear of people in general? Like the fear of man. The Bible calls this the fear of man, Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. I don't know if you've ever seen a snare. This is my homemade snare. I just had some wire in my garage. And so somebody who traps animals, a trapper, would set something like this. This is a piece of wire and they would, or cable, and they would put it down close to the ground where the animal is traveling. And it's set just to be the size of the head. So the head of the animal would go through, shoulders would hit the wire, and as they pull through it, it tightens down, and it gets smaller, and it gets smaller. And as the animal struggles and tries to get out, especially trying to go forward, it just begins to choke down. And that's the image that the Bible gives us in Proverbs, is that the fear of man is a snare. The more you fear people, the more this chokes down on your neck, because God doesn't want us to live in fear of people. He says, don't be afraid of them. Worst they can do is kill you. Be afraid of the God who is glorious, who lives in heaven, who has eternity in his hands. And so it's sinful when we begin to elevate people and what we think of people. We begin to make them more glorious than God, and we begin to give them more credit than we should. We're basically saying, God, you're not that important, but this person over here, my friend, my spouse, my girlfriend, my boss, whoever it is, that person in our life, we begin to elevate them above God. And God's saying, I'm not having that. That's not how this works. I am more glorious than everyone else. I love this quote by A.W. Tozer. He says this, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. It's about having a proper perspective of who God is. And our fears are dealt with properly when we recognize that God is glorious and people, they're just people, right? They matter, but they're nothing compared to God. So that first part of this phrase is God is glorious. Let's talk about glory. That's a Bible word, a churchy word. We use that a lot, right? Glory. What does glory mean? Well, in Greek, glory comes from the word doxa, or in Hebrew, kavod. And these are words that mean weightiness, heaviness. Like there is a weight, not a physical weight, but like an importance to God. And that's where these words come from. And so we don't treat everybody in our lives with the same weight, right? Like my friend, I don't give them the same weight as I give to my wife. You got to be careful when you're talking about weight and wife. We're not talking about physical weight here. Get you into trouble in a hurry. We're talking about respect, honor, right? Or my boss or a coworker, they don't have the same weight. And so when we think of God and his glory is his essence. It's who he is. It's his weightiness, his worth. Exodus 15:11 says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders?" The Bible tells us that God is glorious, but he's also jealous. He will not share his glory with anyone else. And it's not because he's jealous in the sense like we get jealous, like, oh, I wish I was like that person, or I like what they have. God isn't that way. But God will not share his glory with anyone else because no one else is worthy. He's just being true to his nature, his character. There is no one like God. And he's just being honest about it. He's like, there's no one like me. No one else measures up. So I'm not going to dilute myself and be a lesser version of me so that I can share my glory with others. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. God's not going to share his praise, his glory with anyone else. And God isn't insecure. He's not sitting up in heaven just waiting for us to worship him so that his ego can be pumped up or that he can feel better about himself. God doesn't need anything. He is perfectly complete as he is. We are just getting in on the party. We're just saying, okay, God, we agree with you. You are as good as you say you are. Right? And so God isn't up there needing our worship, waiting for us to worship him. That's a human thing, right? God is not like that. So he wants us and all of creation to know how magnificent and awesome he is. He is glorious. So I want to pause here for two questions of discussion. And the first one is this. Why do you think God gave us the ability to feel fear? Why do you guys think that is? Why do you give us fear?
I think one reason could be just it's the opportunity to exercise faith.
Yeah, it's the opportunity to exercise faith. Because fear exposes what? That I'm not enough on my own? A limitation, maybe? Yeah, and so I need who? God. Yeah. What else? Think of any other reasons why God gave us the ability to feel fear? Keep us safe. Yeah. We wipe out the human race pretty quick, right? And I think it's a reminder that we need God, we need to be safe, but we need each other too, right? Fear tells me I'm not enough on my own. That's a gift. Second question, why do you think God will not share his glory with anyone or anything else? Yeah.
He wants us to put him first.
He wants us to put him first? Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why does he want us to put him first?
Because everything else is comfortable.
Yeah, everything else is lesser, and he knows that. And he wants what's best for us. Almost like he loves us. How do we give glory to things other than God? What do you guys think?
Wherever our focus is, if we're focusing on the game on Sunday and we're not focusing on church, that's where we're getting our glory.
It kind of goes back to time, energy, weight. What are we giving our sense of worth to? Which this all goes back to idol worship, right? Like anything we worship or put ahead of God is an idol. It doesn't have to be a little carved wooden statue, but anything that our heart goes after, right? We give glory to too much weight. Oftentimes that's people, right? Do you have another one?
Can I disagree with you?
Sure.
The question, why do you think God will not share his glory? When I come to church, I see his glory.
Well, that's, yeah, sharing his glory, your experience is his glory, different than, yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, it's like the presence of God, we experience his glory in person, but we're not taking it for ourselves. We're not up here worshiping me. That'd be weird, right? Don't come to that church, no. So God is glorious, so what? I don't have to fear others. That's the good news for us, guys. That is the freedom. Jesus says, you'll know the truth will set you free. I want you to live free. And that's the freedom. I don't have to fear others. We talked about how fearing God is a form of respect, right? A form of honor, and saying that God, realizing who he is in perspective of other people in the world that we live in. When we fear people more than we fear God, we are seeing them as more glorious. We're saying, I'm elevating you above God, person. I'm caring more about what you think than what God thinks. I'm caring more about what you say about me, how you define me, than what God says about me. You see how that becomes a sinful thing? There was actually a case of this in heaven. If you remember the story of God at the beginning, there was an angel named Lucifer who was the most glorious angel, the angel of light. And he wanted to set himself above God, and he wanted worship. That's what he desired. God said, "No, that's not it. You're prideful." And God will not allow sin to remain in his presence. And so he cast him down and took a third of the angels with him. And here we have Satan. That's how we know him as Satan. He always wanted to take God's glory from the beginning. And now you know what happens? When Satan lies to us and he whispers to us and he gets us to be afraid of other people and to fear and make them more glorious than God, that's a small win for the kingdom of darkness. He's pulling things away from God. He's saying, I'm going to get you to worry more about what people think about you than God. And it's a small win for Satan and for the kingdom of darkness. Isaiah 40:25 says, "To whom then will you compare me? That I should be like him," says the Holy One. There's no one that stacks up against God. And so we fear what people think of us. I'm going to give you an example. This is how built into us it is. Imagine it's winter in North Dakota. Hard to imagine, I know, right? And it's snowy and it's icy and you're walking across a parking lot and you slip and you fall on the ice. Now, you didn't get injured. It just hurt a little bit right here. And you're laying on the ground. What's the first thing that you do? What's the first thing that you do?
Look to see if anybody saw you.
You look to see who saw you, right? You jump up and you're like, okay, I got to assess the situation. He saw me, she saw. And they might even be complete strangers, but we're so worried about being embarrassed and what people think. And I got to point out that ice. There's a patch of ice right over there, you know. And I know that's silly, right? Like it's just built into us. As human beings, that we're so concerned, probably overly concerned, with what other people think. Now, I know that's a real basic one, but let me give you a couple of other, let me give you a bit of an inventory here, a little checklist, and maybe you'll uncover some fear of man, some things in your own heart. Do you ever feel just overcommitted to where you can't say no to people? Someone asks you to do something, and you just are compelled to say yes always, like to a fault? It's like being a people pleaser. Like, I can't say no. I'm going to let somebody down. That's fear of man. Or what about second guessing every decision that you make? Being paralyzed because you know if you make that decision that somebody's not going to like it and then you're going to have to deal with that. And that's fear of man, right? We get caught up in this. Or what about this one? What if we start to tell little white lies? about ourselves, just to make us look a little bit better in this situation, kind of, you know, slant the narrative a little bit more this way, and we begin to kind of fabricate this version of ourselves that's pretty put together because we're really, really concerned with how people perceive me, right? We want to have our best foot forward, and so we kind of bend the truth a little bit. That's fear of man. These are the things that drive us, and they control us, and they become, like Proverbs said, a snare around our neck, and it sucks the life out of us because we're not free to live the life that God intended for us to live. We're bound. We're stuck in this fear of what people think of us. So I want to have two more questions for discussion before we close. And the first one is this. Do you struggle with people pleasing? Anybody struggle with that? Probably all of us, if we're honest. Who is one person that you try to please most? Anybody want to share? Yeah, go ahead. Your family? We love our families, right? That can become unhealthy, right? Are you going to say something, Landon? Your parents? Come on, Ryan. Show the kids some grace. Come on. No. But that's so true. Yeah, like we care about our parents. We love our parents. We love our families. But it can become unhealthy. Again, they're just a little more glorious than they should be. Start to elevate them above God. Right? Second question. Do you spend a lot of time or energy worrying about what people think? I do. Right? It's easy to do that. It's easy to fall into that trap. What might change in your life if God was more glorious? How would that change your life? Would it change your life? What do you think?
Being more gracious to other people, too, when they're accepting God's graciousness easily.
Yeah, we could be more gracious to other people when we receive what he's giving to us. It's about perspective, right? Like seeing things from God's angle, not from our angle. What else?
You might take a weight off your shoulders because you go from thinking, okay, I've got to please this person, but then when you give it all, like, okay, God is the most glorious and almost takes the weight off your shoulders. Like, okay, it's a bit easier. Just got to focus on glorifying God and not this, that, and that. Mm.
Do you want to come up here and finish the... So good. That is so true. That's what we're getting at, right? Is get the weight off. It's a snare. It's a weight. It's a load. Jesus says, I don't want you to bear that load. You need to have a proper perspective of God and man, right? Don't fear man. That's not what you're supposed to do. I know that as a pastor, I'm supposed to have all this figured out. I'm supposed to be perfect. Right? You guys know that? Not really. So I was, about a year ago, I was at a conference, and I went into a room of about 20 leaders, and these were high-profile, gifted leaders of big churches from all over U.S. and Canada, and we were in this room, and it was kind of a collaborative exercise. And to be honest, I didn't feel like I belonged in that room. You ever been in a situation like that? You're like, I'm the dumbest guy in the room. I don't know why I'm here. And I walked into this situation, and I was so concerned with what everybody else thought of me and trying to like prove that I should be there, but I didn't really want to say anything because I like, if I don't say anything, they won't think I'm a dummy. But if I open my mouth, then I might have to do some damage control. So I didn't say anything. And for like 2 days, I sat there so absorbed with myself, with what people were thinking, and they weren't actually thinking about me at all. They were probably wondering, why is that guy so quiet? And I'm sitting there in anxiety, and I was just like wrecked. And I came home and I talked to my wife about it, and then ended up talking to one of my mentors about it. And he was able to draw this out. And he said, why were you so concerned with what people thought of you? I said, well, because I don't want to look like a dummy. And he said, why does that matter? Doesn't God's opinion of you mean more than what those other leaders think of you? I was like, yeah, that's really what this is getting at. God is glorious. I don't have to fear others. So I'm learning in process, just like you guys, I'm learning how to live this out. So when I go into rooms like that now, I have to remind myself I have nothing to prove. I have nothing to earn. God is gracious. I don't have to think too highly of those people. And I'm just able to be myself. I show up. And if I say something dumb, so what? This is who I am. God loves me. He accepts me. And like, I love you guys, but you're not more glorious than God, right? And so we're able to live with that freedom. And like he said, to drop that weight, take that backpack off and just be free. The gospel is good news, you guys. Like, it sets us free. And if the gospel is putting bondage on us and making us heavy and making us just be miserable, it's not good news. And it's probably not the truth. It's probably a lie. So we have to come back. Remember, the snare. Don't get your head caught in this thing. It chokes the life out of you. The fear of man is a snare, the Bible says. The good news of the gospel is we are set free. We're free to live and be ourselves. Doesn't mean that we don't care at all what people think, right? We still have awareness and, you know, we live in a society where we have to interact with people, but we're not enslaved by it. We're not controlled by it. Do you understand the difference? That's good news for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we have the gospel and that it sets us free. That is your goal for us, is to live the kingdom life, the life that is good news to us and to others around us. So Lord, thank you for these truths, these four G's that remind us of some very, very important things about you. Your glory. You will not share it with anyone else. And forgive us, Lord, when we elevate people in our lives higher than you. We care more about what family members think or bosses or spouses or friends. And we start to operate as if they're ultimate. Forgive us, Lord, when we've done that and when we've idolized people above you. Jesus, you are glorious. And we worship as a response to who you are. We give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we close in song?
Josh left us with a few takeaways from today's service. What to do with fear? Misplaced fear is not good for us. It has a negative effect on us. A bad response to fear is when we dwell on things that are out of our control. Fear, when applied correctly, draws us to God. A paradox is something that seems to be logically contradictory. A healthy fear draws us to God, and a healthy fear helps us see God as He is. We fear what other people can do to us, or even what they think of us. The Bible calls this fear of man. The reason it is sinful is because by fearing people more than we fear God, we are making people more than they are, and God less than He is. God is glorious. He wants us and all of His creation to know who He is, glorious. I don't have to fear others. When we fear people more than we fear God, we are seeing them as more glorious than God. Discussion questions. Why do you think that God will not share His glory with anyone or anything else? How do we give glory to things other than God? Why do you think God gave us the ability to feel fear? Do you struggle with people pleasing? Who is the one person you most try to please? Do you spend a lot of time or energy worrying about what other people think? What might change in your life if God was more glorious? Thanks for listening, Missio family, and we'll see you again next week.